The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to the Clear Criterion. In today's session, we will continue with the commentary of Surah Al-Baqarah. We began this surah in our last episode and we discussed some important themes regarding the surah and also some meanings related to the first verse of this particular surah. Before we continue with the exegesis, the tafsir, the commentary of Surah Al-Baqarah, following our routine, I would like to share with you a point of excellence regarding sending blessings in favor of the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once said, "Invoke blessings upon me, for this action of yours is a means of purification for you." So for us, a means of purification is found within this action of invoking blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So the purification here is a spiritual purification. Any good deed will contribute to a purifying element within the heart, because the heart can be darkened by sin, disobedience, heedlessness. So actions like Salat ala Nabi in this case help us to clean our hearts, to purify our hearts. And what's the problem, or what is the danger of a darkened heart or a dead heart or a stone heart, so to speak? A heart which is darkened by sin is not affected by words of advice, by words of righteousness or actions of righteousness. What I mean by that is, generally speaking, it's more difficult for an individual to respond to or to be encouraged by any speech that is good or any action that is good, because the darkness within the heart is like a barrier which demotivates rather than motivating someone to do good. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we purify our hearts through good actions, generally speaking, through the recitation of the Quran, as our program is about the Quran. And in this case, because we began with this point of excellence regarding Salat ala Nabi, invoking blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may this be a means for us to purify our hearts. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. We discussed how in our last episode, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that the book of Allah has no doubt in it. There is absolutely no scope of doubt in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, those who truly attain guidance or attain guidance in a more complete way are people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious, the righteous. So we looked at some definitions of what piety is, what righteousness is. There are numerous verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers to not just believe in Him, but to adopt piety, adopt righteousness. Different signs of righteousness are mentioned. Some of our pious predecessors, they say that to refrain from the permissible, to save oneself from something which is impermissible, is the essence of taqwa. You're probably thinking, well, what's that supposed to mean? Some of us were probably thinking that. What is said here, or what is stated here, is that the essence or a high level of piety is when one avoids certain actions that are actually permissible to do, because they may lead to or they may endanger that person to fall into a trial, a difficult situation where they might be exposed potentially to something which is sinful. So although what they're doing is not sinful, in going somewhere, for example, or meeting certain people, it might bring them closer to a state which becomes a trial for them. So it's like, I won't even go there to prevent this whole situation, to stop that, to close the door to sin. I will avoid anything which is even close to it, despite it being permissible. This is very deep thinking from our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, a favorite definition of mine, which I often try to cite when taqwa is mentioned. The pious predecessors have written that taqwa is when your Lord does not find you to be in a place that He is displeased with. And I would humbly add to that, or just clarify that a bit more. We can even go as far as saying, and it would not be far-fetched or incorrect to say, that your Lord does not find you in a place or state that He is displeased with. Because physically we can be somewhere safe, but if our emotional state, the state of our heart, our intentions are not right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this too. And if we truly are in awe of our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, then not only will we be careful about where we go and what we do in terms of the physical sense, we will be careful about what we think, what we feel, what we intend. So this is the essence of taqwa. Moving on to the next verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who believe in the unseen, the ghayb, the unseen, and establish the prayer, and spend in our way from the sustenance we have granted them. So this verse mentions three qualities of the pious. Before that, the pious were mentioned, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which qualities do these people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possess? The answer is in the next verse. And this is the best kind of tafsir, tafsir of Quran through the Quran. So the pious or the God-fearing people are those who believe in the unseen. They establish the prayer. And they spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what they have been given, what they were granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just looking at some of these points, in a general sense, as far as the surah is concerned, these next three verses, until Muflihun, are referring to the people of piety, the people of sincerity, the righteous people, the pious people. And then there are two verses which refer to those who are disbelievers inwardly and outwardly. Okay, so first we have mention of the pious people and their attributes. Two verses after that, there is mention of those who are clear disbelievers. And then after that, until verse number 20, so 13 verses, there is mention of the hypocrites. And the hypocrites, their mention is quite, it takes up quite a significant, or it's a significant theme of the Quran, and there is much to discuss about them. But let us just look at first at this second verse of Surah Al-Baqarah in more detail. As far as ghaib is concerned, the unseen refers to matters like heaven and hell and the day of judgment and resurrection. These matters are not perceived through one's senses. We do not know about these matters. These are matters that we believe in without seeing, and that is the essence of faith. And this is the very first attribute that is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another meaning of ghaib that is given in this, for this particular verse, is that it could refer to the heart. And the meaning would be that those who believe from the heart, or wholeheartedly believe, they are people of piety, or they are the God-fearing people. As far as Iman is concerned, because we're talking about belief first, believing in the unseen, Iman is to wholeheartedly affirm in all the matters that are that form the necessities of the religion. What do we mean by the necessities of the religion? The necessities of the religion are generally those elements that cannot be denied in the religion, that every commoner would know, even a normal Muslim would know. We will explain this later, possibly in another episode in more detail. But Iman is to believe in all those matters that form or that are part of the necessities of the religion. And Muslims generally know that this refers to actions or obligations like the prayer, Hajj, fasting, zakat, these elements which even children know. So to deny any of these elements would obviously lead to disbelief. That is just one definition that is mentioned, or a general definition of Iman. Remember, Iman does not include action. Iman is it is centered around the heart and the affirmation of the heart. Yes, it is expressed through the tongue to make others witnesses of one's faith, but in essence, it is a condition of the heart and an affirmation which comes from the heart. As far as ghaib is concerned, generally speaking, there are two types of ghaib: ghaib that is personal and ghaib which is bestowed or granted or given. Personal ghaib, or the personal unseen, meaning unseen which was not granted by anyone and which was always possessed, it only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This kind of ghaib, or this kind of knowledge of the unseen, it is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other type is a type that He grants to whomsoever He wills, from His prophets, from His saints, from His chosen people. He reveals the unseen or degrees of the unseen as He wills, as He sees fit. So there is no confusion here. Just as we harmonize the meaning of seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ultimately all help comes from Allah, because anyone in creation who helps, helps because Allah has empowered them to help. In the same way, knowledge from a personal perspective, from a perspective of a personal attribute, an independent personal attribute, only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we talk about knowledge generally, or knowledge of the unseen here, we mean the knowledge which Allah has granted to whomsoever He wills in His creation. And this begins with the greatest in the creation, the Prophets alayhim wassalam. And we'll discuss this matter in more detail at some point later in our series. Another point to keep in mind is, if anyone believes that someone has knowledge without Allah of the unseen, then this is disbelief, this is blasphemous. And no believer holds this belief, that anyone in creation independently has knowledge without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting it. The second quality that was mentioned in this verse, وَيُقِيمُنَ الصَّلَاةِ, and they establish the prayer. Why is the wording like this? One explanation that is given is that it's not just mention of the prayer, but it's establishing the prayer. So this is praying in such a way where the outward elements, the outer and the inner elements, are fulfilled of the prayer. So the outer elements would be the actual compulsory or necessary actions of the prayer, completing what is an obligation, completing the sunan, completing nawafil, the voluntary elements of the prayer, and avoiding all the things that nullify the prayer, that invalidate the prayer in any way. That's the apparent establishing of the prayer, that you pray it properly, correctly. Some people, they'll pray, they won't do their ruku, they won't bow properly, or when they bow, they won't stand up straight, which is wajib to do. They'll just stand up slightly and then go into prostration, and they miss out on a wajib, and they make their prayer deficient. Some people, when they perform one prostration, they don't sit up properly, and they just raise their head slightly and go into the second sajda. Again, they miss out on a necessary element. So these are just a couple of points to consider. Some people, they don't even say Allahu Akbar loud enough for themselves to hear, and they just raise their hands and tie their hands. The prayer has not even begun. So these are points we have to learn, among many other points of jurisprudence, to ensure that we establish the apparent of the prayer correctly. And then the other element is the inner. And the inner, basically, in simple terms, is to be attentive. But who are we worshipping? We are worshipping the Almighty, the Supreme. We are worshipping our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our manner, our whole attitude towards the prayer should reflect that. Are we standing in the prayer and our mind is elsewhere? How could we possibly do that when we are standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Without comparison, when we go to meet people of influence or people of authority or people of respect and esteem, we are very wary of our conduct. Yet, when it comes to the prayer, can't be bothered to wear a hat in the masjid. We're not talking about a condition of humility here. We're talking about how prepared we are, what our intention is. We can't be bothered to dress in the best way or to make a complete, to do a good wudu, to apply some fragrance with good intention and be absolutely focused in our prayer. So the outer and inner elements of completion, or outer and inner elements of establishing the prayer, are important to fulfill this attribute. And remember, those who are lazy in the prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the hypocrites in the Quran. In Surah Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how when the hypocrites, when they stand up, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى, that when they stand up for prayer, they're very lazy. Okay, it's like the takbir has been said for the jama'ah and people are, you know, just dragging themselves when they should be there, sitting in the rows before the prayer began or before the iqamah was done. But we might even be in the masjid, the iqamah has been recited, and still we feel like we're dragging our legs towards the prayer. This is something which we should refrain from, because we don't want any resemblance with the hypocrites who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran as being lazy when they stand for prayer. And another point which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them, يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ, they are ostentatious people. They show people their way, their actions. They don't do actions sincerely. And towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, they only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little. They don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. So hypocrites, when they stand for prayer, they're lazy. When they do actions, they show people. They want to be seen by people. They want to be acknowledged by people. They want acclaim from people. And when it comes to their personal state, they don't really remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Maryam, there is a warning for people who waste their prayer or invalidate their prayer. And that warning is the warning of a valley in the fire in hell called Ghay. So we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any kind of punishment in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as reported by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that whosoever remained steadfast upon his prayer on the day of judgment, that prayer will be light for him. It will be evidence for him. It will be salvation for him. And the one who did not protect his prayer, it will neither be light for him, nor evidence for him, nor salvation for him. And he will be in the company of, on the day of judgment, he will be in the company of Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, Ubayy bin Khalaf. These are the disbelievers that were mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. That the one who does not protect his prayer will be in the company of such people. We seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any punishment and disgrace in the hereafter. There is one hadith that mentions that the one who deliberately misses his prayer, his name is written on the door of hell through which he will enter. Is this not enough? There is a reason why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly instructed parents to encourage their children and instruct their children to pray from a very young age, because children will go through a phase where they might not be punctual, they will find it difficult. Don't wait until they become mature and they have to pray. Get them into a habit of praying before. And be zero tolerance in this respect. As Muslims, we have to explain to our children that this is something where there is no tolerance. This is an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have to go as far as saying, as a parent, I don't want anything from you, I just want you to pray five times a day, this is the only thing that I want from you, I want you to pray five times a day, and then we can work on other things. Other things I can that are personal to me, I may forgive. But this is something which I cannot allow to happen under my roof, that the time of prayer comes and one ignores it and one misses the prayer on purpose. This is something I cannot accept. We need to draw the line. And we need to lead by example. If as parents we are praying, then inshallah the children will follow suit. It will be easier for them to accept. Remember, start early with them and ease them into a routine of praying with punctuality. The first quality was that the believers who are pious, they believe in the unseen. The second quality was that they establish the prayer. And the third quality that was mentioned about them, they spend in Allah's way from the sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them. And this third attribute, it includes the spending which is necessary. For example, if zakat, they're eligible for zakat, they will pay the zakat that is due. And it also in general, it covers spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any good cause, spending on the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending to provide water, spending on orphans, spending to support students of sacred knowledge or to support an Islamic institute, a madrasa. And in our beautiful organization of Dawat Islami, there are so many ways and so many different departments that we can potentially contribute towards. And if we have money to give, then whether it's a Madrasatul Madina, Jamiatul Madina, whether it's for the masajid, to build masajid, whether it's for water, to provide water wells, whether it's something that is more related to a particular type of charity, we can also spend on if there are orphans within the family or people who are deserving of some aid within family. Remember, if there are eligible family members, then their right comes first, because as family members they have a greater right to be helped in this respect. So the people of piety are people who spend in Allah's way. But remember, there is a balance in the way that they spend. They don't spend so much that they end up regretting, and they don't waste their money, and neither are they miserly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran when he describes how the spending should be of an individual, of a believer. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the people that when they spend, they neither waste nor withhold. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Allah says that their state is a state which is between, it's a balanced in between, it's a balanced state. It's a state in which they spend, but they spend appropriately, wisely, and not in a way that they might regret later. And that regret might be because they were extravagant in their spending, or they wasted money, they did not spend in the right way, or they spent too much on something which they didn't have to spend on, and they left themselves short for something which they were supposed to spend on. So for example, if there are obligations, a head of household, he has to look at the provision of his family and children and his accommodation and things like that first, and then anything that remains or anything else that he can give in addition to that, and that is extra from that, he may use that to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they believe in that which was sent down to you and that which was sent down before you, and they are certain of the hereafter. This particular verse is about the people of the book who previously they believed in the scriptures or the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when this new revelation or the final revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they believed in this, or they embraced faith in this wholeheartedly too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in particular. And towards the end, he mentions a quality which is general for these believers and the other believers, that they are certain of the hereafter. They have absolutely no doubt about the hereafter. And this certainty in the hereafter leads to them being steadfast upon the religion. Remember, for us as believers, we accept that the previous revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we generally believe in them in their original form as a general tenet of faith. But the Quran is the book that we follow, and it's more rewarding for us to read the Quran. As far as the legislation of previous books is concerned, if it is in accordance with what the Quran says, then that element is accepted. If it is not clear, or there's nothing found which supports a legislation of a previous scripture, is not supported by the Quran, there's neither support nor some kind of difference or abrogation, then we remain silent about it. And if it goes against the Quran, then it's something that we leave. And here, ma unzila ilayka means the whole Quran, that which was revealed to you, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, refers to the whole Quran and the Quran and the Sharia in its entirety. So the people of the book who believed in the scripture and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously, they also believe in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are also certain of the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These very people are upon guidance from their Lord, and these very people are the successful. The people who have the attributes that were mentioned in these previous verses, they are truly successful, and true success is, in essence, iman. And a complete success is a success where one is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his piety. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we become believers who follow the way of our pious predecessors, those who were truly righteous, and we pray that we are inspired by their efforts and endeavors. Ameen bijahi nabil. Ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.